moxie, force of character, determination, or nerve. I'm Sierra Benson, and you're listening to The Moxie Mindset. This podcast is designed to help you grow a healthier, growth-oriented mindset. I've reached out to college professors and professionals who have agreed to come into the studio to help us learn more in depth about the communication and leadership skills we need to succeed. Thank you for joining us on The Moxie Mindset. I'm super stoked for today's episode. Boyd Craig is founder, chairman, and CEO of Leader.org, an international education foundation preparing over 1 million of the world's children in need to become the most trusted generation of high-impact leaders. In 2020, Boyd was appointed the inaugural Stephen R. Covey Chaired Professor of Leadership in the John M. Huntsman School of Business at Utah State University, where he teaches undergraduate and graduate students and co-hosts the World's Principled Leader Series. He is founding vice chairman of the Huntsman School's Stephen R. Covey Leadership Center and serves on the school's National Advisory Board. For 23 years, Boyd ran Dr. Covey's global leadership consulting business, was his chief collaborating partner in writing and publishing 10 books on leadership, and was Franklin Covey's vice president of higher education. He is also a trustee of Intermountain Healthcare. Boyd received a bachelor's degree in philosophy and an MBA from Brigham Young University. He and his wife, Michelle, are the parents of three and grandparents of nine. Thanks for coming on, Professor Craig. I am so excited to be able to meet with you. I know that you're a very busy man. You've got a lot of things going on. What would you like to tell me about some of the things that you've been doing?
Well, thank you so much, Sierra. Let me just begin by saying how happy I am to be on with you and how great I think you are. So thanks for the opportunity to have this interview, and I'm happy to share a few things. So in terms of what's going on, what I'm doing these days is I would probably organize it into three big areas. One is my family, which is always a big area. My wife, Michelle, and I have been married for about 35 years and just short of that. And we have three children. They're all grown up and they're married, and each of them have three children. So we have nine grandchildren and we have more on the way. So that is a priority and great joy of life. So in terms of importance, there's probably nothing more important in terms of the time and focus that my wife and I give, even though we're both very involved in other things. The second is that I'm the founder and chairman and CEO of a foundation called Leader.org. And we can talk more about that later, but it's a foundation I started to develop leadership skills in children in high poverty areas of the world. And it flows out of the work I did for a few decades in leadership development. And then the third area is my teaching at Utah State in the Huntsman School of Business. And I co-teach a class on leadership and change with Lord Michael Hastings, a member of the House of Lords. And we absolutely love our work there. And so it's a very full life. So that's what I'm up to the most.
Oh, awesome. With all of those things going on, why did you choose to be a professor on top of those things?
That's such a great question. You know, I started working, well, after being a student, I got an undergraduate degree in philosophy and a graduate degree in MBA, both from Brigham Young University. And after working for a startup software company for a couple of years, I met a man named Stephen Covey, a well-known author. and became his closest collaborating partner for about 23 years. So I dedicated my whole career to teaching and writing about principles of leadership that enable people to lead effective lives and have impact. And after this long career in writing books and working with some of the best executives and leaders and companies in the world, I discovered a passion for teaching these principles to young people. In the first case, I started this foundation that I mentioned to take this to young children, starting in kindergarten and going up. And then I've been working for about 10 years to establish a leadership center at Utah State in the name of Stephen R. Covey, because we felt that right here at the hinge point of life, these young people are being prepared for the rest of their lives. And I learned the power of a principle-based approach, a principle-centered approach, that principles govern life. They're the laws of life, just like gravity. So principles like trust and service and integrity and focus and all the things that universally lead toward effective lives, I just developed a great sense of passion and purpose in taking these principles and sharing them with college-age students. And so in this work I'd been doing to establish this center, which was established just a few years ago, I was offered an opportunity and awarded a professorship along with Lord Hastings to teach these leadership principles to students at Utah State and to bring the very best of our life experiences and also our very best connections with leaders all over the world to bring these principles alive in teaching and studying, and then to introduce leaders who exemplify these principles. And so I think this has probably been deep in my heart for at least 25 years that I would love to teach at a university. And the opportunity has finally come to do that. And I couldn't be more thrilled.
Ooh, thank you. I've always wondered, because you told your background and your experience the first day of the class that we have together. And I said, wow, why does he even want to spend his time with us? He's got so much going on and he's done so many amazing things. I don't know why Utah State University is the place for him, but that makes a lot of sense. And I really do appreciate that you've brought so many networking opportunities and leadership opportunities to the school, not just through our class, but through the center as well. So I want to thank you for that.
It's interesting because I learned in my work from Stephen that life is a mission, not a career. So when you make your decisions about what you do with your life, with your time, it's a very important and precious decision. And so I've just decided that for the rest of my life, there's no more important work than I can do than with the rising generation. So now, why college students? Why give the time? Why teach? Because every single person, the one, can profoundly impact the future of the world. And so I'm totally dedicated to young people. And even in this semester we've had together, I've seen how the sense of understanding of these principles and clarity of purpose and passion for contributing in life has come alive in you and in these other students. And so we never know the ripple effect that will come from work with one person. And I think the same could be said of by Lord Hastings. You know, why would someone who serves in Parliament in the UK and who's working with leaders all over the world spend his time? The same reason we both feel this is that every single person has the potential to impact the world. And so to us, it's a real privilege and a joy.
Well, I definitely appreciate it too. So thank you. It's been a joy to be in the class. In what ways has managing all of these different sides of your life to make it holistic, how have you practiced habits or maybe managed your time so that you can do these things in a manner that you can be wholehearted in all of them?
Yeah, such a good question. And, you know, this is a question for anyone at any stage of life. You know, for you, you're in the thick of college and work and friends and so many different projects. And you've experienced yourself, as have I, that life can take over. You can get caught up in the whirlwind of life in a way that it starts running you. And you just start responding to all the urgent things of life. And the problem with that is that you can get so caught up in all the urgencies that you really end up don't moving the needle. You're not moving the needle on the things that matter most. And it's one of the problems even with just creating a to-do list for yourself. Because what's a to-do list? They're the things that are urgent, that are sort of pressing on you, aren't they? Whereas what I found is the key to being effective and holistic in your life is to first get clear about your sense of purpose. You know, what are you really about? What are your main stewardships in life? And the way I like to think about it is in our roles of life. What are the most important roles of my life? Well, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a friend, I'm a founder and executive of a foundation, I'm a university professor, I give service in my church, and in a bigger sense, I'm a son of God. In other words, I have this sense of purpose because of my awareness of who I am and what my responsibility for life and in serving others is. So how do you keep focused on those things? Well, there's this great practice I learned from Stephen Covey that basically involves, one, get clear about your life, what your purpose and mission, and then second, what are your main roles? And then once a week on a piece of paper, or you can do it on your laptop or iPad or in your phone, just write down the main roles of your life, the main five or six or seven roles of your life. And then ask yourself the question in each one of those roles, what's the most important thing I can do to live out this role in a way that I'll be really happy with? And so when I do that, I think about the people connected to that role. I think about my wife. What's the one thing I can do this week, in addition to all the other things we're doing that I'm doing, that would help her the most or that would make her happy? What can I do to bring her fulfillment and happiness? It could be a little simple thing. It could be writing a note. It could be a big thing like doing the things she's been asking me to do for a long time in the yard or in the garage or whatever. Then I think of my role as a father. I think of each one of my children. I picture them in my mind. You know, my son, Rob, what can I do for him this week that would make a difference? I do the same thing with my daughter, Lauren, and the same thing with my daughter, Lisa. I think about my grandchildren. And you get these little feelings, these impressions, these ideas, and you write down the thing under that role, just one thing. And then in my role as a professor at Utah State, what's the most important thing I could do to fulfill at a high level of influence that role? And it may be that I should agree to do this podcast for Sierra. It's not part of my everyday role as a professor, but I care a lot about her, and that's something I should do. Or it may be that I should make some extra preparation and watch speeches and do more readings about the leader that we're going to be interviewing. I thought, if I could really bring that alive, that'll bring excellence and impact into the classroom. Or it might be that I've noticed one of the students who had surgery a few weeks ago hasn't been in class for a while, and I should probably reach out to her and see how she's doing. Or do you get my idea? But the same thing in each role. I think through my friends, I think through my service responsibilities in my church, I think through each of these roles. And when you just identify one thing, you ask yourself, okay, when am I going to fit this in? And you try to plug it in. You try to schedule the important things. And it's only a few things a week, but just think about it. If you've identified the most important roles of your life that are most impactful and that you're most responsible for, and you think of the one thing that if you were to do, would do more to fulfill your responsibilities and opportunities in that role than anything. And if you just get those few things done alongside all the other things that fill up your life, what we could call the whirlwind, think about that. And it doesn't need to reflect the amount of time you put in, but the fact that you got the most important thing in, you can see that this brings, this will do more, I think, than any other thing to keep you connected and aware and listening to what life is asking of you and your most important relationships and responsibilities, and to keep you balanced and fulfilled. Now, the rest of my week may be absolutely consumed in my work projects that are my everyday things and other things I do at home and in the family. But if you can do those single things, and this practice that I learned from Stephen R. Covey has brought enormous meaning and fulfillment and power into my life, because you live with meaning. You live with purpose, and you also live with achievement in the things that matter. So that's one practice. Is that helpful?
Oh, definitely. I wanted to talk about how I've seen this. I'm majoring in communication studies, so it's another humanities or social science, and I've absolutely adored it. I think everyone should get a minor in communication studies at least. But we talk a lot about identity and how identity shapes the way that you think about your world. And I love that point that you made about identifying the roles that you have, because I do the same thing, except mine aren't based in my roles. They're based in like roles of my life, as in like topics. So like finances or family or school. But when I come to those, I haven't looked at it in the same way as a student, what should I be doing instead of school? And so I've really liked the take on that. I'm probably going to change it, because the way that I perceive my goals are going to shift when I attribute it to who I am instead of the topic that it is. So thank you for that. I really have seen how that's going to help me and change. The second point that I kind of wanted to bring up, I just kind of felt like this might be something that would be helpful to have your perspective on. But one thing that I've been noticing as I've been talking with my friends and going through my own journey, especially this semester, is that there are a lot of people that have felt unstable in their spiritual journey, especially. And I'm learning, and I'm like associating with people that are like, I want to be spiritual and I want to find my who I am and my practice, but maybe reading scripture or praying isn't what is working for me. It's not what's bringing me alive. And I listened to a speech the other day that talked about finding a spiritual practice that works for you. And it might just be going out and looking at the stars that makes you feel that aliveness. I was wondering if you have a practice like that for yourself that maybe isn't like the normal, what we hear in religious organizations.
Sure. You know, that's such a good question. And I would put it on par with this other practice that I've talked about, because life tends to kind of unravel you. It just tends to unwind you. It tends to spend you. It tends to get you empty, stressed, unsettled. So I find that unless you make the proactive decision about engaging in practices that ground you, your core, into things that bring peace and confidence and clarity, you run around every day just on fumes. And you're not present to the powerful opportunities that come to you in relationships and in school and in work and in friendships. They don't even occur to you because you're running on empty. And so to me, I would say one of the most important ways I do that is in how I spend my mornings, particularly early in the morning. And how do I get spiritual grounding? Well, I'd say it's in a few areas. One is the reason why the morning is good, and this could also be at night, but the point is get in a place that's quiet. Get in a place where there's not noise. Turn off the music, even though music is amazing. But, you know, take out the ear pods, turn off all the noise, and just get quiet. And one of the ways I love to do that is I love going on walks. Once the weather gets nice and the winter is done, especially, I love to go on walks for about 45 minutes in the morning. It's quiet, it's clear, the sun is rising. The air is fresh and clean. And I think one practice of getting out in nature is a best practice because I don't tend to listen to things when I go for a walk, even though it's a great time to listen to books and music and other things. I just tend to get quiet. And I look at the mountains and I look at the sky and I look at the rising sun and I breathe deeply. And I think getting into nature, whether you're in a forest or in the mountains or walking on the sand on a beach or by a river or in the desert, even whatever it is, get in a quiet place in nature and just walk and listen and breathe. So I would say that's one thing. And then I also find it very important to read inspiring sacred literature for me. So I like to read the scriptures. Other people may not like to do that, but I find in them particularly that it gets my mind regrounded in principles and a mindset towards serving other people and toward positive, lifting things. And then I like to both reflect and ponder and meditate, and I love to pray. And so I would find the common denominator across these other things is to be still, to be quiet, get in a quiet place, get away from all the noise and ponder and reflect on what's important to you that day and what's important in life. And along with that, I think it's really important to exercise, to get your heartbeat up, to exert yourself, because when you're more physically fit, your mind is clearer, your spirit is clearer. And I think when you're not physically fit, it's easier to get down and discouraged. And so getting oxygen and getting your muscles going and getting moving is another, to me, it's a spiritual practice, because body, mind, heart, and spirit are all connected. And when you neglect any one of those things, it impacts the others. In the same way, when you activate any one of those things, it lifts all the other three. So those are some of my practices.
Oh, thank you. I can definitely agree with the exercise. That's kind of been my space to come and ground. I've noticed a shift in my day when I've done it in the morning. I feel like I can respond to the emergencies of life in a much more paced mindset instead of frantic. So thank you. I attest to that. How have these mindsets affected your life? Are there any pivotal experiences that you've experienced that you can attribute to them?
Well, I would say that I am sure there have been moments of greater challenge and setbacks and discouragement that I have rebounded from much better and more quickly because of these practices than were I not doing them. For me, it's become just a pattern that I find that there's very little that really gets me discouraged. There are moments when I get down, but because I'm engaging in these practices, I have a place to go and get strength, get perspective. I also think that at the times, at pivotal decision-making times in my career, about jobs, about challenges or needs in my family, with my wife, with my children, a lot of it is just being, it puts you in a frame of mind where you're more sensitive. So easy to go around in our relationships and be totally clueless to the needs and struggles of people around us, because we're just too into ourselves and into the things that are pressing on us. When we get in a quiet place and when we're reflecting on what's important to us, it just puts us in a place of being, that things occur to us more. We notice like an expression on my wife's face where I can sense she's feeling stress or feeling down. Same thing with my children. And so it's the difference between noticing and being clueless. So I know there have been big dramatic points where these practices have really come through for me in the moment of need. But I would say it's far more important what it does to your everyday life. And I know I've avoided big problems and big setbacks because I've been more tuned in. That my mind has been more active. My spirit and heart has been more open and sensitive. I've listened more. I've noticed more, not perfectly, but it has helped me. And also be aware of emerging problems at work. Like you're just more tuned in, instead of just ground down in the things that are pressing on you every day. So having this rich private life, including doing things that are relaxing and fun, that in a way sharpen your saw, I think is a practice that protects you and activates you and enables you in your everyday life. And it prevents you from making big mistakes and missing big things. So I guess I would say in this sense that the big things are the everyday little things.
Thank you. I know that as a college student, I get really caught up in thinking about all of the big things that are about to happen, especially where I'm graduating and I have to prepare for all of these really big ordeals in the next year. but knowing that it's because of the everyday things that can get you there. Mm-hmm. And that's where the preparation lies. Really helps. I grew up on a farm my whole life, and the law of the harvest is a very real thing to me.
Yeah.
You have to start with the seeds before you can reap the benefits and all of the pipe moving in between. Yeah. So,
well, you're incredibly fortunate to have been raised on a farm, because the law of the harvest, the law of the farm, is the law of life. And, you know, nature taught you the things that you must do. I mean, you can't forget to plant in the spring and forget to weed and water, and then later in the summer, just really pour it on and cram like we do in our finals for sometimes. And expect that the harvest comes in. You can't cheat nature. And so you've learned a law of life that these principles govern. I mean, you know, you've learned from the farm experience, the same thing applies to your schooling. The same thing applies to your most important relationships. It's the seed you plant. It's the nurture you give each day. It's the water you give to the important things. It's removing the things that can choke your crop, and it's the care you give, and it's just the everyday work. And because of your vision of the importance of that harvest, it also gives you the strength to say no to some things, or to say, you know what, I really got to work hard today. I've got to move all these pipes. I got to make sure the water gets there. And after it's all done, I will have done my part to get to make sure that that longer term thing happens, the crop I want to harvest, and then I can have fun later. So sort of emotionally accepting this law of work first and play later is really powerful. But you also realize that you've got to unwind, you've got to play, you've got to rest, you've got to do other things, or you're worthless on your farm during the day. You can't do your work. So, you know, what a great thing that the farm has taught you that really will bless your whole life.
Thank you. Yeah, I've definitely seen how work and play coincide. We always look forward to the 2 weeks in mid-July where the pipe shuts off so that all of the grain can turn gold. And that's when you can play really hard, is those 2 weeks for the entire summer. And then you go right back into harvest. But then after harvest, you've got all of the money so that you can go play during the winter too. So I really do appreciate that I grew up on a farm. It puts a different perspective into life, especially walking into a grocery store.
Oh, yeah. You know exactly what it took to get those things.
Oh, yeah. It just puts it a little bit more into perspective, just the entirety of the food system.
But don't you also find that there's enormous satisfaction at the in fulfillment at the end of the season, when you see the fruit of your labors, when you see the fruit of your diligence and your sacrifice, when you see that harvest come through, you also can't fake the satisfaction that comes. You can't manufacture that. It really is the fruit. And when you do your very finest, best work, when you have sacrificed, when you've balance yourself day in and day out, and the harvest comes through as a student in your finest work and learning, when you've done your finest work and sacrificed in your work responsibilities, when you put your very best into relationships in your family and in your friendships, and you then at the end of a season, you step back and you see the fruit of those labors. I mean, that kind of satisfaction and peace and joy is irreplaceable. It is the fruit of of this power of work. And there's no way around it. And when you've done it in a way that's honored the other parts of your life at the same time, but kept the priorities in, I think this is what gives peace to our minds. This is what gives us grounding and satisfaction. So I just cannot say enough about who you are because you are a farmer. You have been greatly blessed. And there are relatively very few who have the privilege that you've been given to learn these lessons. Sometimes we can learn them in other ways, in athletics, in other work opportunities, but farmers have a special claim on building character that brings true fulfillment and achievement in life.
It really does shape your perspective on the world, especially when you're in a field and there's no one around and you're just humbled by how small you are. Yeah. Because like these seeds that you planted that were tiny when you put them in the field, sooner than later, you're wading through them, trying to get that pipe through. And at the end of it, you've produced like tenfold what you put into the ground, and just realizing how small you are really, it takes an impact on you, and in the best way possible. It just shows you how big life is and how big the earth is.
And you know, even though you learn how small you are, and I think that principle of humility that comes from looking up in the sky and seeing the expanse of the universe and seeing yourself on this planet. And then, like you're saying, in this vast field and the power that's coming forth out of the earth. So that lesson of humility is really important. And it combines with the confidence that comes from your diligence. But the other part of that humility is that you've experienced yourself that is one person working hard. You've actually enabled the earth to bring forward its power. You're compared to the sun, compared to the earth and the soil and the water, we're very small. But we're an activating agent. So as we give ourselves, our whole self, body, mind, heart, spirit, when we give our voice, what we're really good at, what we love, what the world needs that we're focused on, and when we focus on things that we feel in our soul that we should be doing, then we activate our voice and we experience our sense of purpose and contribution in life, that one little person running around a little field and moving pipe enabled the power of all those things to come forward. Whereas had you neglected moving that pipe all summer, what would have happened?
Yeah, you would not have gotten a harvest.
No harvest. So no power. So each person, even though we're small, even though it's important to be humble, we can make a difference.
Yes. Thank you. I love that so much. I needed to hear that today. So thanks. I ask two last questions to everyone that comes on my podcast. And the first is, what would you tell your younger self?
Oh, I think that's a great question. If I could go back to and have a little conversation with my younger self as a teenager or in college or as a little boy, the first thing I would say is, you're all right. You're doing great. You've got a great life ahead of you. So don't worry too much about the things that get you down. Things will work out. just get a good night's sleep and wake up in the morning and things will look better. So just remember, for every problem that comes to you, and there'll be a lot of problems that come to you and challenges, just remember, it'll all work out. Even when you get older and start raising a family and you're worried about your children or your grandchildren, you're worried about their behavior, just remind yourself, it'll work out. This too shall pass. The other thing I would say is, you are a person with unlimited potential and unlimited worth. Don't get your sense of value from the world. It's inside you, who you are, and what you can give of yourself and your life to others. So remember that your life is a mission, a purpose to serve others. It's not a career. A career and earning are all important, but stay focused in your life on giving, contributing. And the other thing I would say is, never forget that everything good in your life, everything ultimately good and that lasts, come from God and come from other people. And so life is really about relationships. Your family, your friends. And the most important thing you can do always is to serve them. And be grateful. You know, be grateful to those who have come before you, your ancestors before you. And be grateful to God for his goodness and his gifts and his power in your life. And finally, keep smiling. Be grateful, keep smiling, and remember that your greatest satisfaction in life will come in the exertion of your work to good purposes and to your most important relationships.
Oh, thank you. Oh, those are all things that I know as I look back at myself, I've always needed to know that it's always going to work out. Even the hard things and the positions that you wanted and the grades that you didn't want to get but got, it's all going to work out. Thank you. And the last one is, if we have questions, if we want to learn more about your foundation or the center, where should we go?
Oh, thank you so much. So the foundation that I started, leader.org, you can go to leader.org and learn more of the work we're doing, the work we sponsor in schools around the world is called The Leader in Me. There's another website called leaderinme.org, and you can learn about these habits of leadership and effectiveness that we help children and young people learn. If you'd like to learn more about the work that we're doing at Utah State University, search for the Stephen R. Covey Leadership Center in the Huntsman School of Business at Utah State University. And you'll see a page there that describes the terrific work that's happening in students in developing their capacity to become great leaders of character and competence. And also another place you can, you might be very interested in is a series that Lord Hastings and I initiated in our class this semester called The World's Principled Leaders. And if you search for that, you'll find a series of about 15 or 16 interviews that we've done with world leaders. And it provides links to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch these interviews. And I think you'll find in them two things. One is you'll be fascinated with these leaders of extraordinary influence. And two, I think you'll be struck that not only have these people been very successful and very influential in their lives and in their careers, but they've done it by living principled lives. And the third thing I would say is if you want to learn about the foundation of the work we're doing in this foundation and of our work at Utah State University, get a copy of the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, or listen to it on Audible. And you will find in it a catalyst for growth, for change, for becoming, and for discovering your strength and your ways to contribute in life. So those would be three things I would recommend.
Thank you so much. I've loved the book. I've had so much personal growth in the Leadership Center, and I'm excited for what's more in store for me. So I hope that the listeners go out and check it out.
Well, thank you, Sierra. You are a fantastic person. You know that I believe in you, and I know that you can do the things that you aspire to in your life, and you're going to be a great leader. And I can't wait to see what's ahead of you. Thanks so much for the privilege of being on with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for the privilege as well, Dr. Craig. Have a great rest of your day.
Take care. Thank you.
Hey, it's Sierra, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope it led you to a more positive mindset, a more defined view of leadership, and some action items to take along with you. For more information, you can check out the Moxie website at themoxiemindset.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and I'll see you next week on The Moxie Mindset.